Light. Light. How many of us could live without light? Things grow in it. We are attracted to it. We look for it. Think about walking into a dark room. What's the first thing we do? Look for a light switch, exactly. And for our spiritual lives, don't we also need light? Of course we do. And who is our spiritual light? Jesus is, and he tells us in John chapter 8, verse 12. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He was telling us and the Jews at the time that he was the light that was prophesied about in today's reading, first reading from Isaiah 60. Your light has come, the glory of the Lord shines upon you. Light is important to us and was also important to the Magi, of course. But who are these Magi? And why were they searching for a star? You know, there's much legend and tradition surrounding these wise men, but from the question of how many there really were, to what their names were, to their exact occupation, you know, we don't really know. You know, we really don't know what's exactly true, and the Bible doesn't give us a lot of help there. It appears that they devoted themselves to the study of the stars, to the study of heavenly lights. Some sources call them astronomers, some call them priests, and some call them kings, for they were men of means, being able to travel like they did. But to us, they could be more than that. They could be considered the very first Gentiles to receive the call of salvation to Christ, his first co-heirs, as Paul calls us. Why were they searching for a star? Well, in addition to fulfilling the prophecy that Isaiah talked about today, they were looking because they were looking for predictors of another prophecy. And stars were often indicators of the birth of a king in ancient times. There was a prophecy spoken to Balak, the king of Moab, who hated Israel. And it came from the prophet Balaam in Numbers, chapter 24, verse 17 through 19, that states, I see him, though not now. I observe him, though not near. A star shall advance from Jacob, and a scepter shall rise from Israel, that will crush the brows of Moab and the skull of all the Sethites. Edom will be dispossessed, and no survivor is left in Seir. Israel will act boldly, and Jacob will rule his foes. In this prophecy is a star and a king, symbolized by the scepter, that will rise from Israel. In case you don't recognize those names, those are Israel's neighbors. So kings of those nations would be concerned about the king coming out of Israel. And so a king will be born out of Israel and rule the nations. And that's what they were looking for, in addition to fulfilling the prophecy. And that's why it was important to these men from the east. So what does it mean to us? Well, like us, the Magi have received a call to Christ. What else might we have in common with them? What else might we learn from the story of the Magi? So in the steps in the Magi's journey, in their search for light, we can see our own search for light and truth. They looked for signs of God's presence, for signs of God's will. They looked attentively for spiritual lessons, and they remind us to be attentive, to look for God operating in our lives. For we are often so busy with our own normal lives that we don't even bother to look. Now, we don't have to be super attentive, but we do have to be somewhat attentive. For look how God reached the Magi, these stargazers. St. John Chrysostom points it out when he says, God calls them by means of the things they are most familiar with. And he shows them a large and extraordinary star so that they would be impressed by its size and beauty. But remember, God called the wise men in the midst of their ordinary occupations. And he still calls people that way. Isn't it true in our lives also? But sometimes, you know, God has to, you know, we really need to have God make a really big impression on us to get our attention. But he often calls us through the familiar. And, you know, when the Magi saw this bright light, this star that they've been searching for, they moved. They did not hesitate. Does that sound like us? Well, maybe, sometimes. Sometimes we feel the tug on our hearts and we follow. But speaking for myself, I sometimes need the pull that is equivalent to a bright star, as it was to the Magi, to get me to move. Think also about how hard that journey was for them. In the ancient world, travel was very difficult, full of real danger and hardship, taking so much longer than what it would take for us today. Journeys of hundreds of miles could take days or months. They didn't just jump in a car or a plane. They took a difficult journey, just like our spiritual journey can be difficult. But the point here is, when you see the sign, when you see the light you've been looking for, move. And when we're on this journey, when we seek the light, expect opposition. Expect the light to go out occasionally. In the case of the Magi, the star became hidden to them. That's why they sought the counsel of the Jews. And like them, we can expect a few twists and turns in the journey, but all we need to do is have faith and stay focused on where the light was, even though it may be temporarily out. And ask for help to find it again. Again, when we have arrived at Christ, the light of the world, we should give ourselves up completely. This is what God asks of us. Think about what the Magi gave to Christ. Gold, because he's a king. Frankincense, because he is God. Because he's divine, and incense is used to worship God. And myrrh, because he has come to die, and myrrh is used to anoint the dead. All these things tell us who Christ is and what he will do. He will offer his great gift of self-sacrifice for our sakes. But the thing to note about these gifts is just that they were the finest gifts the Magi could offer. Gifts worthy of a king. And back to our own journey. When we're on fire for Christ, engulfed in his light, so to speak, isn't that what we do? Give God our all? Don't we open our coffers of our mind, our hearts, and our souls? And if we're really on fire, don't we act like the widow in Luke 24, who gave from her provision all she had to live on? How are we giving now? Are you like me and like the wealthy in the widow's story, giving from our surplus? Are we self-satisfied, complacent in our devotions, our prayer life, and other ways we give to Christ? Where is your treasure? What guides you? What fuels the light of your life? For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Pope Francis, in his homily on the Epiphany in 2014, offers these words on the Magi and their meaning to us. He says, "Following a light, they were searching for the light." These evocative words from a liturgical hymn for the Epiphany speak of the experience of the Magi. A star appearing in the sky kindled in their minds and in their hearts a light that moved them to seek the great light of Christ. The Magi followed faithfully that light which filled their hearts, and they encountered the Lord. I pray that we might also follow the light of our hearts, however faint or bright it may be, that will lead us to our encounter with the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Amen.